To DR Oshkosh
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Familiar sounds on New Year's Day in the Middle East. Hamas fired rockets towards Israel as fighting in the region continues, even as Israel announced it is moving thousands of soldiers out of the Gaza Strip, but it also says the war requires prolonged fighting. The most significant tsunami alerts have been lifted in Japan after a magnitude 7.6 earthquake. Authorities, though, say people in coastal areas should not yet return to their homes. It's not clear how many people were hurt in the earthquake. Asia's another area of global tension. North Korean state media said leader Kim Jong-un said his military should thoroughly annihilate the U.S. and South Korea if provoked. Kim is expected to carry out more weapons tests this year. Financial markets closed today for New Year's Day, but there's plenty of money available. The Powerball jackpot, worth an estimated $810 million. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Universities of Wisconsin President Jay Rothman is pushing back on an ousted chancellor's claim his First Amendment rights were violated. Rothman says La Crosse's Joe Gao served at the pleasure of the UW Board of Regents and is not entitled to any specific process. Gao was fired last week after pornographic videos he and his wife made surfaced online. Advocates want Wisconsin to adopt a ranked choice voting system, which aims to take much of the partisanship out of elections.
It reduces the incentives that create those toxic, hate-filled campaign ads. It reduces the incentives that reward gridlock and extremism in our elections today.
Bob Moline is a volunteer with a grassroots organization called Grow Action. This is Civic Media News. A new survey shows the outlook for the economy is getting better. Alex Gonzalez reports on the Audit Partner Pulse survey and what it means for business today.
CEO for the center, Julie Bell Lindsay, explains that audit partners are present in all public companies in the country. They're responsible for understanding risks and pressures that affect businesses and the industries they operate in.
Certainly the economic outlook is stronger than a year ago, but auditors still see the potential for inflation, while it is falling, to have a significant impact on business operations over the course of the next year.
Lindsay adds that almost 70% of auditors see what she calls inflationary effects hitting business for longer than 12 months. She adds that businesses are also being heavily impacted by the country's current regulatory environment, with a majority saying the effects have been negative, citing additional costs associated with compliance with new rules. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
The Packers sink the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers ring in the new year with a 33-10 win over the Vikings. Jordan Love throws for 3 touchdowns, quarterback rating of 125.3, getting contributions from nearly everyone on offense.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was out there executing. We were moving the ball, getting into a rhythm. The run game was really great tonight, at a high level tonight.
Aaron Jones began with short runs up the middle, then bounced one outside for 19 yards.
Hey, I'm just running what's called. I don't know what they're setting up, but as soon as we ran it, I came off to the sideline. A great call. There was nobody over there. So
the Packers stay alive with a shot at the playoffs if they can beat the Bears next week. 3:25 Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. At 7-9, the Viking ship is nearly sunk. Head coach Kevin O'Connell.
Green Bay had some success on offense to obtain possession of the football, but this is going to be one that, you know, we've really got to take a long look at. I'm going to be, you know, the first one out in front of this thing fighting to make sure we don't have any more performances like that.
That's Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Yeah.
It is going to be partly cloudy to mostly sunny here on New Year's Day. We'll get to a high of 31 this afternoon with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be clear, becoming breezy overnight, 25 the low, the wind gusting to 25 out of the southwest. Tomorrow, breezy in the morning, mostly cloudy, high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl and Sandy are joined on the line by Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. They talk about the successes of the Biden administration, as well as how Milwaukee is moving forward. We'll be back live tomorrow, January 2nd, 2024. Thank you for listening.
All right, welcome back to a special edition of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. And so I want to say good morning and welcome to the mayor of the city of Milwaukee, Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you doing?
Good morning, Earl. I'm doing well. Merry Christmas, and nice to be with you.
Yeah. So, Mayor Johnson, my co-host on Friday, Sandy Williams, and I have been spending, you know, this entire morning talking about what has happened to the middle class in this country and the struggles that they face on a daily basis. You are the mayor of a city that clearly at one point in time had a strong, vibrant middle class, and that is clawing back to try to bring some of that back. We had the president of the United States in our city a couple days ago. Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's an excellent topic to discuss, and one that I spent a lot of time discussing as well here. When I think about the president's visit and what he was highlighting while here in Milwaukee, I think folds very well into that conversation too. You know, it's because folks had opportunities to have good paying, family supporting jobs that was able to fuel middle class growth in Milwaukee and some of the other cities. And then unfortunately for us, and you know this well, Earl, because of your own history and your family's history, when opportunities to work in especially heavy manufacturing dried up here, they went to right-to-work states in the South, they went to places overseas or south of the border for cheap labor, it left neighborhoods in Milwaukee mired in poverty. You know, those folks didn't have another opportunity to get ahead here. And with poverty then becomes violence, and this terrible cycle that we've been sort of trapped in for the past number of decades. That's where President Biden comes in here. Under his watch and his administration, of course, he's created more jobs. More jobs have been created under this president than any other president in the first term or the first 2 years. Over 14 million jobs. And even in Wisconsin, I mean, there have been a number of jobs that have been created as well. And those are good things. But particularly for people of color and African Americans, we want to boost opportunities for folks to have jobs. And so I'm glad that the person who introduced the president, Mr. Spivey from Hero Plumbing, right here in Milwaukee, African American man who owns a business, started a business, and is employing other people in our neighborhood, replacing lead service laterals in Milwaukee, helping folks get access to good paying jobs. That's what we need to see, and that's what the president understands.
You know, that young man is scheduled to appear on my show next week. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to having this conversation. But this conversation, Mayor Johnson, you've been the mayor of this major city, and you were basically under Mayor Tom Barrett who had been in our city for, you know, a long, long time. And yet there appear to be some things, some lights showing at the end of the tunnel that have really been because of the Build Back Better program and other programs that President Joe Biden has created.
That's absolutely correct. And look, when the president was here a couple of days ago, he said that we're not leaving any community in the United States behind. That includes Milwaukee. And he said Milwaukee is coming back. And Milwaukee is coming back because of the targeted investments that his administration is making. You know, one of the other things outside of just talking about the gains for African-American jobs in the United States and Latino jobs in the United States. President also announced that Milwaukee is a finalist for the recompete program that could see the city win a grant of up to $50 million. $50 million that would be targeted in our industrial core along the 30th Street corridor to help to create new, good-paying, family-supporting jobs. Right, those are the things that will help us to move Milwaukee into the future. Those are the things that will help us to generate stability for individuals, for workers. And when folks have the opportunity to have those good paying family supporting jobs and they have stability, then it leads to stability in their life. It leads to stability in the life of their kids if they have any. They're not moving around so much. They can afford to pay their rent or pay their mortgage. They can stay put in one neighborhood and not be transient, and the neighborhoods aren't porous. And when the neighborhoods aren't porous, folks begin to develop a familial sort of relationship when you get a critical mass of that. And when that happens, the neighborhoods gel, they become cohesive. And when they become cohesive and gel, that's how you get to the greater public safety that all of us want to see. And look, I'm proud to have a president in the White House like Joe Biden who understands just that. It's jobs. It's about dignity. It's about respect. It's about stability. It's about greater public safety. That's how you create stronger families, stronger neighborhoods, and therefore a stronger state and stronger country.
You know, you're a mayor of a major city in the United States. That area and that building that we were in, it mm-hmm. is coming back to life because of policies mm-hmm. That President Joe Biden has offered. Because that building, when I was a young man, it was very active and there were great opportunities and a part of that middle-class lifestyle that people were able to live. But on 29th and Valete, prior to this investment that has come to help Reuben Hopkins and the Wisconsin Black Chamber create businesses, small business incubators, if you will, it's all a part of renewing hope and hope for the future for many people and for that corridor.
And
yeah, you're
and Mayor, I think one of the things you've said several times, which is vital to the conversation we've been having, is this idea of good paying family supporting jobs, because, you know, there are jobs and there are jobs, and what you're talking about and what seems to be happening is the development in Milwaukee of more of those jobs with a capital J that actually mean family support and middle class status.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, my goals, my desires, what my administration is working on in the city of Milwaukee specifically lines up very well with what President Joe Biden is seeking to do here as well. I'm the development mayor. I want to see cranes in the sky, not just downtown, but also in the neighborhoods, because when cranes are in the sky, that means people are working. That means people have access to good paying family supporting jobs, especially these days and in the trades. And we can see more of that. We're seeing a lot of that now. I want to see, you know, more of that happen as well. And President Joe Biden, he believes that small business owners and small businesses, they're the ones that power our economy. They're the ones that help to create the most jobs in this country. And since day one, he's provided small businesses with the resources and the support they need to thrive, with Bidenomics spurring record small business growth in America. I mean, he talked about this as well a couple of days ago when he was here, 15 million applications to start a business in the United States, and small businesses creating over 4 million jobs in the country. I touched on this earlier, but just about the fact that, you know, opportunities for African Americans and Latinos to own businesses is up under President Joe Biden. And that, I think we should, you know, also state, because it seems to be, at least for now, that the presumptive person who will become the nominee on the Republican side is former President Donald Trump. And his record as president was not as positive as President Biden's has been. I mean, his big claim to fame is slashing taxes for the ultra wealthy in the United States, as opposed to President Biden's approach, which has been to make sure that folks are taken care of by building the middle class from the middle and from the bottom up.
So
that's the difference that I think folks need to understand.
So, Mayor Johnson, we only got a couple minutes left. So I think it's important, I think it's critically important that people understand what mayors and President Biden and others understand, that small businesses are going to be the bedrock of employment to lift people out of the conditions that they're in. There's not going to be a coming back of all the jobs that are no longer happening because of technology or that moved overseas. So let's talk about quickly why it's so important that small businesses get the financial support that they need to become part of the bedrock of recovering.
So you're absolutely right, and small businesses are the engines for growth in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, and in the United States. And President Joe Biden understands that. That's why it's important for us to continue to make investments in small businesses here in Milwaukee and in Wisconsin and in the United States. And that's what Bidenomics is all about. It's about empowering small businesses to get the supports that they need in order to make sure that they're in a position to have their owners to find the success that they strive for, but then also in turn providing opportunities for other citizens in our communities across the country to be able to find good paying family supporting work. And so again, the example, and you'll talk to this Mr. Spivey soon too, example is Hero Plumbing, right?
Absolutely.
Black-owned small business, employing folks in this community, creating good-paying, family-supporting jobs, taking care of a health issue in terms of removing lead service laterals in Milwaukee. I think that President Biden understands that. And again, I'm happy to have a president like Joe Biden in the White House who gets it.
And last thing. So our radio stations are all over the state of Wisconsin. So this is being heard all over the state of Wisconsin. It is clear that President Joe Biden is not focusing solely on central cities across the nation. His policies are earmarked to deal with issues in rural America as well. Is it safe to say that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And look, a number of communities around the entire state, including rural communities, have benefited from the American Rescue Plan Act. And we certainly did here in Milwaukee. Communities all across the state were able to, but it's not even just, you know, policies like those. It's policies like working to make sure that all Americans are connected with high-speed internet, right? I think that sometimes folks consider that to be a luxury. It's not. It's a utility. President Joe Biden understands that. In order for people to be able to compete, to sell things, to apply for jobs, to do well in school, they need access to the internet, and they need it at high speeds. And so we're working to make sure that all Americans are connected that way.
So, Mayor Johnson, I'm sure going into next year, we'll be connected a lot more. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you all very much.
All right. We'll be right back.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn.
But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show on New Year's Day. In this segment, Earl talks about the divide between urban and rural communities and explains that they are fighting the same issues. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back live tomorrow, January 2nd, 2024.
Tell me this while you look for my reaction. What do you need to know? Don't you know I'll always be the one? You don't have to be.
At 849-67-2789, text us that same number. Music soothes the savage beast, Calvin. anyway, so we're talking about, you know, the difference between rural and urban, and with the elections right around the corner, it's critically important that we have these dialogues and conversations, and I'm going to be having them. Let's go to the phone lines and Kurt from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Kurt. You say what?
Well, I'm impressed with your understanding of this situation. And unfortunately, a lot of the folks who called in are not hybrids. They don't own property in rural and urban areas. And I do. I've owned a farm for about 25 years now. And my parents are both from rural areas. And I have a small farm, and I have been litigating against these CAFOs for 25 years. And what you said earlier is exactly correct. It's the corporations that are causing all of these problems, including the divide between people in rural and urban areas. And the unfortunate thing is that Mr. Urban or Mrs. Rural, they don't have the time to, or they don't have the opportunity to understand what the problems are. And because I'm a hybrid, because I, you know, work in both, you know, right, urban and rural areas, I can see what's going on. So I'm with you 100%. And I, what I would probably like to do is carry this discussion further one-on-one if we have a chance to do that.
So, because I can. So, Kurt, leave your phone number with Calvin. And yeah, we will. Absolutely. We will, because because it is so critically important that we heal this divide, because we have an opportunity to start turning this around next year. But we can't turn it around unless people understand we're being, you know, pitted against one another. And we're struggling together, independently, but the same entities that are causing the pain in urban America are causing the same pain in rural America. Man, leave your number. Thank you very much, and I'll definitely get in touch with you. All right, thank you. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. My take on this whole thing is, yeah, it is the corporate farms. But I think it boils more down to also is how rural people have been bamboozled thinking that the Republican Party is on their side and fighting for them. And they will only see Democrats as evil people. And if you're in the city, you're a Democrat, therefore you know nothing about us, which isn't true. Just look and see what Ron Johnson did for the state. Nothing. While Tammy Baldwin has done a lot. But the rural people don't hear that. And they think that because the Republicans are on their side, they vote for Ron Johnson, and that's why he wins in the rural section. They believe this. Corporate farms. What do? They open a big dairy farm with 1,000 head of cattle in a building that never goes outside, and the government gives them subsidies left and right.
Right.
Well, what subsidies do the small farmers get? None. They get nothing. They're just fighting, and that's why they go out of business, because they cannot compete. Our state government or all states' governments are all on the corporate side and do not care about the rural farmer anymore, the small farmer. But, again, they are bamboozled into believing that the Republicans – now, I'm not saying that the Democrats don't do some of this too, but it's mainly Republicans who go and make them think that the Democrats are the bad guy. And they're going to take everything away. They're going to tax you to death. Well, if you're being taxed to death, well, Republicans are in charge of Wisconsin. Why are you being taxed to death now? You know, so there's no one. That's why if someone like, I'm so happy you guys are at least statewide with all this. And hopefully someone stumbles across your station so they can hear this and think, oh, wow, maybe they have a point. But the Democrats do horrible on messaging. They need to get out there and say, look, this is what's really going on here. But I don't know why, but for some reason that message never gets out or they never push to do it.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You're on point. You know, we've got to take a short hiatus and we'll return.
Broadcasting from the Civic Media Studios on South Main Street. This is Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
News Sponsored by Current Electric, home of the superhero. Current Electric, a pioneer in solar energy for residential and commercial in the state. Go to callcurrent.com for more information.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. There are 80 races for Supreme Court seats in 33 states next year. Many of the issues will be the same as Wisconsin's historic election last April. The Brennan Center for Justice expects abortion, gerrymandering, and voting rights to dominate high court races all over the country. One state elections official says he wants a database his peers across the country could share to fight misinformation spread by artificial intelligence. Adrian Fonts is Arizona's Democratic Secretary of State.
Our election officials can have this reference space where they can go learn more, figure more out, and then continue to up their own game.
A recent poll finds most Americans are concerned about the role AI will play in spreading lies in this year's elections. This is Civic Media News. Scam artists are finding new ways to rip off people who are trying to repair their credit. Joe Ullery reports.
The American Association of Consumer Credit Professionals, best known as AACCP, has issued a warning about rogue credit repair firms whose shady practices prey on consumers who are trying to repair their credit and rebuild their lives. Michael Klotsch with Emergent Strategies says scammers continue working the phones despite a federal judge's landmark ruling.
The law of the land is that if a credit repair company uses telemarketing, either in an outgoing solicitation or referrals through the phones, then they have to wait 6 months before they can bill a consumer.
Klotsch says consumers should always be suspicious of unsolicited calls and texts promising things that seem too good to be true. I'm Joe Ullery reporting.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
This is Chuck Smith, owner of Current Electric, home of the superheroes. Have you noticed electrical problems in your home or business? Flickering lights, broken breakers, outlets that wiggle and jiggle? Current Electric knows the most important thing is protecting your family, and our heroes are experts at electrical repairs and upgrades. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, we answer the call. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. 262-786-5885. Keep your electricity alive.
Packers sink the Vikings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers ring in the new year with a 33-10 win over the Vikings. Jordan Love throws for three touchdowns, quarterback rating of 125.3, getting contributions from nearly everyone on offense.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was out there executing. We were moving the ball, getting into a rhythm. The run game was really great tonight, at a high level tonight.
Aaron Jones began with short runs up the middle, then bounced one outside for 19 yards.
Hey, I'm just running what's called. I don't know what they're setting up, but as soon as we ran it, I came off to the sideline. A great call. There was nobody over there. So
the Packers stay alive with a shot at the playoffs if they can beat the Bears next week. 3:25 Sunday afternoon at Lambeau Field. At 7-9, the Viking ship is nearly sunk. Head coach Kevin O'Connell.
Green Bay had some success on offense to attain possession of the football, but this is going to be one that, you know, we've really got to take a long look at. I'm going to be, you know, the first one out in front of this thing fighting to make sure we don't have any more performances like that.
That's Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
It is going to be partly cloudy to mostly sunny here on New Year's Day. We'll get to a high of 31 this afternoon with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight it'll be clear, becoming breezy overnight, 25 the low, the wind gusting to 25 out of the southwest. Tomorrow breezy in the morning, mostly cloudy, high of 35. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999. And again, 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats. And there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown.
Monday mornings at 8 on WISS and WGBW and on the Civic Media app.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning.
Weekdays from 6 till 8.
Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Thank you.
listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl is joined by Dr. Robert Craig from Citizen Action to talk about the monumental decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court to overturn the gerrymandered legislative maps.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, it's Wednesday. That means Wednesday's with my co-host, my guest, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, man, the maps are going to be redrawn. And just so people understand, the legislature still will get the opportunity to redraw the maps initially. Is it safe to say that?
Yes. They have till January 12th. We're on a tight timeline.
Right. And if they are not sufficient, then the states, does it go to the governor next or the state Supreme Court to who will have the final say?
It depends how the Republicans play it, right?
Well, they're in charge, you know, from that perspective, with the legislature.
Well, the question is, Earl, are they capable of highly pragmatic maps that are not biased the way the current ones are that might actually be accepted by us,
right,
by this Supreme Court? Or whether they, it sounds like they're betting on being saved by the U.S. Supreme Court, and we can talk about what the grounds would be. There, most legal scholars, that have been interviewed on this, think that there's doesn't seem to be any reasonable grounds based on current precedent, but they would never rule out. These are strange times, and this U.S. Supreme Court is by no means predictable.
So is it possible then, Dr. Craig? You there's this timeline, and you stated it January 12th or whatever it is. They want these maps.
March 15th is when the election commission has to have the maps. So I think the Supreme Court could move that back a couple weeks if they needed to.
The state Supreme Court?
Right. And that's happened, but it can't happen. It can't happen in the summer. I mean, if March 15th is the current deadline, according to the Wisconsin Election Commission, you know, do they need a little time to move it back to April 7th? Maybe, but it's going to be early spring that this has to be decided one way or another.
So, Dr. Craig, let's say the state Supreme Court doesn't accept the maps that are redrawn by the legislature, and we're talking timelines here because of the election, the federal election. How is it possible if the United States Supreme Court, is that something they would move on as swiftly as need be because of the presidential election? Or is that something that would move to the front of the list of issues that the United States Supreme Court will be dealing with?
It totally depends. Last time, you remember this Supreme Court, because Judge Hagedorn switched sides, it first accepted the governor's maps over the legislature.
Right.
And then Amy Comey Barrett, who was the justice that oversees Wisconsin, they have different spatial jurisdictions. In the Rocket docket, this is the one where they can act immediately, but there are no briefs and no public hearing. It's very controversial, their use of the Rocket docket. It was supposed to be used only extreme circumstances. Now they use it regularly. She overturned the governor's maps on a brand new, never seen before claim that they had to prove that it wasn't reverse discrimination, that they'd added an extra majority black district. No such maps had ever been required to pre-prove that. And then the state Supreme Court went and adopted the legislature's maps instead, which is even worse than the previous one. So, yes, they can act quickly if they wanted. One thing that a UW-Madison legal scholar brought up is that they generally, even in the rocket docket, don't move until the case is done. And the case isn't done. The case isn't done until the Supreme Court has decided what the maps will be. So there's a question of, they might not do it now. They would do it at the end of the process. Do you see what I mean? They could also take the case and not enjoin the new maps and have a longer process. It's called granting certiorari. It's a Latin word. It's often abbreviated as cert. And so our petition for cert means that they take the case as a full case. So if they're going to wait until it's decided, what the court has done is they've asked both parties to submit maps. So if they find the Republican maps submitted by January 12th are, shall we say, unacceptable, they could just accept what the governor submits. And the question is, what will the governor submit as far as thinking about what is the most thing that's most likely to be accepted? They won't just do their pie-in-the-sky maps. Probably neither will, but don't know how they're going to play it. And it also says, though, if you've thought about the problem, what if Robin Voss, just the way he gavels out special sessions, just refuses to provide the maps by January 12th? The decision says that if they don't get any maps, they can just draw them themselves. So they will draw them themselves if they do not get maps from the legislature, but they presumably would have maps from the Democratic Party, and they would just accept those. So it doesn't seem to me, from what I know now, that Robin Voss simply not providing maps is a viable course for him.
You know, Dr. Craig, if my recollection is right, the governor's maps that were drawn were not acceptable to many Democrats. And many
people,
they
were still gerrymandered for Republicans, but they designed them to potentially win Judge Hagedorn, and they did. But then there was the unexpected intervention by the very interventionist Justice Comey Barrett, a Trump appointee, as everyone remembers, very controversially.
So Dr. Craig, this still sounds like, considering, you know, the importance of the state of Wisconsin, this is still, you know, unpredictable of where it's going to land and whether or not these things will be worked out before, you know, the election time.
Yeah, at this point, absent, you see, it's most legal scholars think the Supreme Court intervention is unlikely because they chose the narrowest grounds that were entirely state law and state constitution and tried to avoid anything that involved federal law or the federal constitution. And so they would have extremely limited grounds to potentially do it, and they would have to make new law, though that's the problem. This Supreme Court has a bunch of politicians and robes on it, right-wing politicians, who are willing just to make new law to get what they want. So we'll see. It requires four of them to take it as a full case, only four. So if you consider that Thomas and Alito are going to do almost anything bad, it's a question of whether there are two more that would take this step. But let's leave that aside. Then there will be new maps, but they're going to be remedial maps. They're designed only to deal with the narrow constitutional issues that are in the case. They didn't take all the issues in the case, just one of them, actually. It's a direct violation of the state constitution not to have contiguous maps, that is, all the territory touching the territory, because then you could just make crazy districts that are like God knows what, right? Some sort of patch quilt all over the state in order to get whatever result you wanted in gerrymandering. And so they may not be fully fair maps. They may be, they'll be better than the current ones, but the justices did leave some wiggle room saying that they could consider partisan impact, not because they're trying to aid one side or the other, but because the partisan, to be independent, they need to make sure basically it doesn't unduly aid one side or the other, that they are really nonpartisan maps, which they have not been. So I think that absent the Supreme, I still think the Supreme Court thing, I don't know, Earl, I'm not an odds maker. I would say it's less than 50% the Supreme Court intervenes, but they could, right? Despite their not seeming to be rounds. But then the case will only create remedial maps and will therefore, it could, the completely new maps, they could then draw later for the next election. These are going to be like a corrective maps for now, kind of like when, I don't know, Earl, when you get a temporary crown in a dentist's right. office before you get a permanent crown, right? Then you have to wait a few weeks when they go and make that.
So Dr. Craig, you're saying that, you know, the maps that are going to be drawn, that, you know, for the sake of clarity, the true maps will really kind of take place in 2025. Is it safe to say that the because
that is, presuming the Supreme Court does intervene, not knowing what the parties will do, that is what the case says now, the ruling we had on December 22nd last Friday. So, by the way, just to remind your listeners, anyone who may be new to this, because you have all these stations all over the state, Earl, on the Civic radio, right. Via radio network, in the current map, the maps that were preceded this, which weren't as bad as the ones that brought in 2 years ago, but were really bad, we have a 99-seat state assembly. So, in other words, in a very divided state, you would expect something, if it was a fair map, like a 50 to 49, right? That would be look like our presidential, right?
It's about 60 to 39 states. Or something. I don't know. It's way out of kilter.
In 2018, Democrats got 53% of the vote. That's a landslide in Wisconsin, right? 53%. Right. This is such an evenly divided state. And then they only got 36 assembly seats, which means the Republicans got
63
assembly seats. And so that's how bad these are. This is like this definition of rigged. Okay, totally rigged, so only one party can win. When there's a landslide, the opposite party gets a supermajority. That's what the current maps are like. They were certainly better than that, but they could be natural Republican advantage in these maps still. But what it is going to do is going to endanger a ton of Republican incumbents. What we had is, and this is why our public policy has been so bad, we had a majority of Republicans never vulnerable to losing their reelection. So they could do anything. They could cut all the schools closing around the state, Earl, and the cuts in teachers when we had this huge budget surplus. They'd be people, if when you have fair maps, people get thrown out of office for that kind of thing. They only got away with that kind of thing because they were invulnerable to the public, the people who are supposed to be their bosses and supposed to hold them accountable.
Dr. Craig, hold a thought. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll return.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ+ veteran, your memories are important too.
Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
You're listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show. In this segment, Earl and Dr. Craig talk about how an everyday person can have an impact in politics. We'll see you live tomorrow, January 2nd, 2024. Thank you for listening.
Can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Dr. Craig is my guest of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, you know, as we start, you know, wrapping up 2023, what do you want the listening audience to know about the impact they can have on government themselves, and that they have the ability, and that there's room in the end for them to help work towards changing their own realities?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to mull over this new year, Earl, when we think about our obligations. And I think we have obligations as citizens, and I don't even mean the legal definition of citizen. Citizenship is also a word about us being citizens of a human community, right? Generally,
right.
Regardless of whether anyone's granted you citizenship in a particular country, including this one. And so, but we live in a state where we have more influence than everyone else, and who holds national power, because we have this ridiculous system where only 7 states decide who's president, right? And that has enormous consequences. I mean, I'll just give you one example, because in a time of, you know, a lot of religious speculation and reflection, like the holidays, we think about endings, end times, the ultimate, right? We do face runaway climate change, human-generated, that would do unimaginable, unprecedented damage to humans, to human civilization, in terms of mass death, mass dislocation, but it's fully within our power to control it. And we have a 6-year deadline, and President Biden is the first president to take serious action. He and got us a good amount of the way there, but not all the way there. We need to cut greenhouse emissions in half by 2030, which is very soon. So if we think about that, who is president now has a huge impact, because Donald Trump wants to pretend there is no climate crisis, ignore all science, so that he can enrich big fossil fuel companies, big for-profit utilities like your utility provider. That's part of the problem. a big part of the problem, and just ignore what needs to be done, and then let future generations and current generations. It's now. We see global warming now. You saw how warm Christmas was.
Yes. Right, girls? It's gone.
So this is not normal for Wisconsin or the upper Midwest. This is, it's the proof is right before, not before our eyes, right outside. And so, I mean, that's nice and pleasant, but it has terrible consequences, potentially. But it's totally, it doesn't take much of our wealth or capacity. We know how to do this. It will actually produce more prosperity. It actually opens up all sorts of opportunity for new jobs. And if we do it right, we can re-employ a lot of the people who lost their jobs with the ravages of corporate destruction the last 50 years, deindustrialization of what's been done to the local farm economy, the way we started this. So you can name other issues like whether or not women have their constitutional rights to control their own bodies, reproductive health and abortion, right? You can talk about a whole lot of important issues. We have a bigger role, and even if one can't vote, let's say you're legal resident, you can have a huge influence by being involved in organizations that affect this conversation, have the dialogue with average people across the state, a real personal conversations that you all were mentioning earlier in the show. We need to do that on a large scale where thousands of people are playing their part as good citizens of human community and talking to people to make sure that we can win this election. But I have a second thing, just winning is not enough. It needs to be understood for the winners, that is, if it is President Biden, what we expect him to do in order to earn and follow through on the trust that's been bestowed to him if he's given a second term. But there's no hope of any of these things with the President Trump. That's what's to reflect upon. I would love if we had two equally compelling visions and approaches to our future from each party. That used to happen. It's not happening now, unfortunately. And that's not our fault, Earl. That's the fault of the party that has a front runner like a Donald Trump.
You know, Dr. Craig, you talked about, you know, we take this for granted. The warm weather, the warmest summer in the history of the state of Wisconsin and Milwaukee, the warmest December in the history. I mean, these things aren't happening by happenstance. And yet there's still people who don't believe, you know, in climate change. And I don't know how you're able to, outside of, you know, having that one-on-one dialogue with somebody to get them to understand. You know, this is not, you know, fictional. This is real.
I'll say something fairly controversial since we're in a, you know, religious season, right? I don't understand how you can say you believe in God and not believe in climate change, because if the world is created by a great creator and we're seeing this predictable warming, that our knowledge, our ability to get knowledge, technology, science would be driven by what has been given us, right? How we would ignore the signs of the time, using biblical language. They decide to ignore the signs of the time for their own enrichment.
Dr. Craig, well said. We'll talk soon. Have a happy new year. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Couldn't do it without you. I'll be back on tomorrow. Up next, As Goes Wisconsin, Greg Bott and Jane Madnair.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Mino and the Mayor.
People who have parties eat, and it's just it's a tough time to manage.
Is Dr. Kristen invited to your Christmas party?
Yeah, I haven't gotten my invitation yet.
Advice, though, for the holidays coming up.
See how he dodged that question?
I think they call that, in political terms, that's called a pivot.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support,
WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252DR Oshkosh,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm